How you guys doing?
Good.
Big week ahead of us, an exciting opportunity to improve our team. Whole building's excited right now. Really going back to July, our scouts have put in tremendous work into this process. And I'd just like to recognize a couple guys, Josh Lucas, Champ Kelly, Mark Sadowski, the entire college and pro scouting staffs. Those guys have put in a ton of work. A lot of it's going on behind the scenes, as you guys understand. A lot of time on the road, a lot of time away from their families. And really, as an entire organization, we appreciate every single one of those guys tremendously to get us to this point. With that, you guys know this is a somewhat difficult time of the year to talk. We're 2 days from the draft. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the best way I can.
Right. As we think about your needs, receiver comes to our mind, and I'm curious, why did you guys tender Cam Meredith at the original round instead of the second round?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about our needs, Rich, I think one of the things that we tried to accomplish in free agency was to address a lot of needs, which we feel like we did, and it helps open up the draft a little bit to best player available. And really those decisions, and specifically with Cam, there's a lot that goes into that. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into every one of those decisions, as you guys know. And, you know, Matt and I sat down and met with Cam and spoke honestly with Cam and wish him nothing but the best of luck.
What deterred you from going up to the second round tender with him?
Without getting into specifics, you know, there's obviously he was coming off an injury, and we lean on our training staff and our docs, and hey, got a lot of respect for Cam and a lot of respect for the organization he went to, and we wish him luck.
Yeah. Brian, the fact that the Saints saw something different, you obviously know them well. What was your reaction to that particular?
I think it's happening right now in the draft, Rich. I mean, we just went through our medical grades, and every organization's different, and. Every organization comes to different assessments.
You guys don't have a third round pick. How does that change the math going in? And would you like to try to regain something?
Yeah, I think we've shown, Pat, in the last couple of years, you can maneuver in the draft to acquire more picks if necessary. And, there will be opportunities to do that if it fits. There might be opportunities to go up where we lose some picks. So every scenario is on the table. Those are all discussions that we're going through right now. But, yeah, in a perfect world, if we could move around in the draft and get another third-round pick, that'd be beneficial.
Ryan, as you noted, this is an awkward access event for you. I'm serious. Is disseminating misinformation part of the game as well? I mean, is that an opportunity as well, either on your side or from what other teams are doing?
And Mark, I think a lot of guys, our pro scouting staff does a good job of kind of researching other teams, determining a lot of kind of what their moves could potentially be based on what their needs are and things like that. So really there's more and more noise out there. Like the drafts become bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think us as decision makers, we have to block a lot of that out and focus internally on what we believe in and what we want to do and what our scouts kind of how they view things as opposed to the information that's out there. Because you're right, there is a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of smoke screens. That's just part of our business.
But are you into playing that game yourself, as far as feeling it?
Yeah.
In 75, Jim Finks talked a lot about a running back named Don Hardeman, and then he picked Walter Payton, and it was clear that he was trying to lead people in different directions.
I think,
do you believe in playing that game?
I think you're conscious of what you're saying, and I think everything can be interpreted different ways, So, I don't know. I don't spend a ton of time and energy into putting out those smoke screens or misleading. I just think you're pretty this time of year, I think it's okay to be a little boring in these moments. And we can have more thorough discussions after the draft.
Years ago at this time, did you know you were going to draft Mr. Trubisky?
David, there were scenarios in front of us that had to take place. And based on how those scenarios would transpire, would dictate if we were going to do that or not. But obviously, he was a guy that was in our cloud and a guy, that we valued and we're happy to have him. And that's going on right now. We talk about these clouds. I use that word a lot. We have eight names right now of players that we like, players that we're comfortable selecting at eight. And there's a lot of variables that are going to take place in front of us that are going to dictate who's going to be there. And we're excited if any one of those eight names are there. I think one of the most valuable things of him is his position versatility. So he can do a little bit of both. That's a feather in his cap.
You hear people talk about how maybe that's a developmental project. Can he do it immediately?
Yeah, you see on film him doing a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Ryan, have you guys made a
you know, we're not at that deadline yet. I know it's approaching. Right now it's all focused on the draft. Then once the draft's over, we'll meet with him and his agent and make that decision.
Ryan, with where the roster is right now, what is your assessment of where the pass rush is?
You know, obviously Leonard's coming back. You know, that's a significant piece for us. Signing Aaron Lynch in the offseason was a big move for us. We're happy with him. Getting Sam Acho back was good. And then, you know, with our front, you know, Akeem Hicks is a good rusher. Eddie Goldman can rush well from the nose tackle position. And we got some younger guys that need to step up, you know, in Bullard and Roy Roberts and Harris. So there's pass rush generating from those players.
How much have you been able to lean on recent college coaches that you hired for Matt Nagy's staff in this process?
That's been good. You know, the collaborative relationship with our coaches is important. And so now we got guys that have just come straight from the college background, obviously, and they have intimate knowledge of all these players, players on their own teams, players that they know through friends in the industry, players that they know going back to high school that they recruited. So that's been really valuable for us, kind of tapping into that.
Quentin Nelson said that Harry Easton knows everything about him. How has that impacted your process of evaluating him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a player I feel like we know a lot about, obviously, having his coach here. But that could apply to a lot of players in the draft.
Ryan, what are the qualities of a wide receiver who fits into Matt Nagy's offense?
It really depends on what receiver we're talking about, you know, and they each have different qualities that Matt will stress. And, you know, Matt's done an unbelievable job in this draft preparation of kind of painting the picture of how players fit, not just on offense, but on defense too. And, hey, here's the vision. Here's how I see this fit. And then as evaluators, it just gives you confidence to pull the trigger because there's a vision for the player. Like, there's a way better chance of success when there's that unified vision. But I think, you know, just, you know, Matt's one thing that Matt always says over and over again, there's a lot of things you value with the receivers. They can be different animals, small, big, good route runners, speed guys. But I would say the trait that has to be there is good hands, natural hands.
Is there a receiver who's maybe higher on your board this year because of Matt than last year with Fox and
Love? Yeah, I would just say, like, Matt's gone through, for example, the receiver position. Matt's looked at almost every receiver in the draft, you know, so he has a good feel for, hey, how this guy fits, you know, and hearing that from the head coach, from the play caller, is valuable for me.
How long does it take to come up with those eight possibilities? Is that a long process, or do you just kind of know it right away?
No, it's a pretty long process. It all, you know, really, again, going back, we've met throughout the season and after the season and with our college scouts and with our coaches, and then you get the medical evaluations and character evaluations. So all this information coming in to, you know, basically come to these eight names of players that we're excited about taking at this pick.
Ryan, the last two years you moved up. You made a trade. You moved up in the first round. And from our standpoint, it looks bold and aggressive. What, if anything, do you think that says about your approach to the draft or your personality?
You know, I think, David, I think when we identify a guy that we like, you know, and there's a unified vision in the building of a player that we want, you know, I don't think we're ever afraid to go up and get that guy. You know, I'd rather do that and ensure we get that guy than he goes right before you and everybody walks out of the draft room a little bit disappointed or whatnot. So I think if we're not afraid to be aggressive, if we got to be aggressive and get a player we're all excited about, you know. And those scenarios are all discussed. They're all discussed right now. Hey, okay, here are these eight names, right? But amongst these eight names, is there anybody that if they fell a little bit closer to us that we'd be willing to go up and get, you know? Is there any scenario where we'll want to go back, you know? And if we do, how far will we go back, you know, because we better make sure it's an impact player because we know we're going to get one if we stay at eight.
How unique is that possibility? When you mentioned the eight names that you like, where maybe you could get two of those guys if you do trade back?
Well, I don't think, you know, if you trade back, yeah, I don't know if you're going to, if all eight of those names are still going to be, to get two of them, you know. Yeah.
Brian, so it seems like there have been more challenge trades in the last year or two than before in the NFL. Do you imagine that could continue into the draft? And you hear people talk about a new wave of GM that's maybe not afraid to do that. Do you consider yourself part of that?
I think especially with the quarterback situation this year, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some movement, you know, because of the quarterbacks in the draft. And you're right, Pat, I feel like there is a little bit more trading that's going on now. I don't know if it's a new wave. I just think, hey, you know, like sometimes with these trades and you have relationships with other GMs and there can be win-win scenarios. You know, I think there's always this fear or somebody's going to get the short end of the stick. Well, if you're thorough with your research and they are too, like, there can be win-win scenarios in these trades.
Do you think your trade in the first round last year was win-win?
Yeah, because we got a player that we were excited about that's a franchise quarterback.
What did your experience last year with Eddie Jackson do, if anything, for the way you assess the program the guy played in and the scheme, that particular fit, and how a guy can make a transition to your program?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously he comes from an outstanding college program. I would say Eddie, you know, to give our college scouts a lot of credit into the research that went into him. You know, he'd been coming off an injury, but just his makeup, his football IQ, his leadership. I mean, those are from our college scouts, you know, and kind of the boots on the ground, digging all that information up. So, you know, we can sit in here and watch the film and see the physical talent. But what makes Eddie a great player is a lot of those intangible traits that he has. And that goes to our college scouts without question.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about, like, the process in the draft room, like, go in the first round? Do you know immediately who you're going to pick based on what happened before you? Is there some debate? And then do you leave time for calls to come in about trades? And at what point on the clock do you want to make sure that you get the card turned in by?
You know, sometimes you'll leave a little bit of time for a trade, but, I mean, there will be scenarios where I feel like the last couple of years we've been pretty accurate on how the draft's going to unfold. And, you know, there's obviously scenarios, to be honest with you, where you want to run that card in. You know what I mean? We'll give a little bit of that.
How did you approach evaluating the top four quarterbacks? And have you posed a scenario or thought about if one of those guys is the highest rated player on your board when you're drafting eighth, what you do?
Yeah, that's a good question, David. You know, we've gone into that. You know, I think the fact that it's a talented quarterback class, I think is going to help us this year, you know, with what we're picking. But to sit here and think that, you know, we're going to select a quarterback at that point would be inaccurate.
No quarterbacks in those eight, safe to say?
We have our eight. That's pretty safe. Yeah.
But Ryan, also in the second part, you they talk about ceilings and floors. How do you factor that in? I mean, the risk of going, how good this guy could be versus we want to be safe and whatever.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, Moon. That's real, you know. And I think some of these players, you know, they're 20 years old, you know, and you see a lot of physical traits and talent, and you're projecting how much better they can get. You know what I mean? That's part of the art of doing this, you know. And I think a lot of that goes into the work by all of us, you know, by our scouts and our coaches and also knowing the football makeup they have. You know, we talk about the desire to want to get better. You know, their passion and their love for the game. If they have all the physical traits but they don't have that desire, then, you know, it might not work. But if they do have that desire, they do have that passion, those are the kind of players we want because we have more faith that they'll improve.
Are you a ceiling guy or a floor guy?
Both.
Ryan, this is your fourth draft as a GM. What have you learned from the first three, whether it's from hits or misses, that will help you in this draft?
Yeah, you know, it's never an exact science, Mark, these things. And so I think, you know, as in this chair, I think you're taking a lot of information in. I mean, we can have 10 to 12 reports on one player, you know what I mean? So you're taking all that information in. I have a really good feel now for, like, okay, this coach or this scout's typically kind of a high grader. This guy's kind of a low grader, taking it all in. And then I think just learning, and you know, David touched on this, is being aggressive when you need to be aggressive. You know what I mean? And, like, not being afraid to make a move if you need to make a move, you know? And that can go the other way, too. I mean, the last 2 years we've traded back in the second round and accumulated some more picks. That helped us a lot last year with getting some good players. So I think not being afraid to move around in the draft and use that to your advantage.
Ryan, yeah. Last one here.
Picks role in the draft room. You know, last year only drafted one defensive player. You had a defensive head coach. Now you have Matt. How does Vic's role change in that room with you this year?
Vic just comes down and champions defensive players all the time. it's pretty much the same. Like, it's, you know, that relationship's good. Vic looks at a ton of players. He's got opinions on every one of them. He's got conviction on every one of them. And his knowledge and expertise helps us tremendously.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.